time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Thanks for checking in. Live in Vegas, South Point Sportsbook. We'll talk to our buddy Nick Seeley coming up in about 5 minutes on soccer bets. Yeah, who needs Nick, Paul, when I'm giving out Alevas
and how about Afi
yesterday?
Good job. Nil-nil detector.
Nil-nil detector comes in.
Eight of the last nine they haven't scored now? Alevas?
The run is unbelievable.
You see the Oxford United match?
No,
right, under
but there
two
was,
and a half.
But there was a goal though. Hatafi did it in that match for a second year. They had a goal, I think, in the 87th minute. They went to the VAR, and they overruled it, so no goal there. But I mean, that total was 1.5 in the match.
Yeah.
So scoreless halftime, scoreless across
Beautiful.
The board.
Yeah, one under 1.5 plus money. Nice plus. I had the under in the Oxford that League One playoff. They called a penalty in the 80th minute. I just can't get away from this stuff. Penalties, keeper errors, nothing crazy.
Well, goals late.
Called that. I called.
What are you talking?
I mean, look how I'm run. I told Mike Palm. I go, Mike, what do you got on the Leicester City? I go, give me a nickel on the under. It's a 60th minute. It's 1-0. Bournemouth had one shot on goal. Right after it happens, the keeper Schmeichel for Leicester kicks the ball, hits his own guy in the back. Bournemouth picks it up. He gets tackled. PK goal. Then they get a man sent off. 4-1 final. In any event, they are playing for promotion. There better be a decapitation or blood on the field if you're going to call a penalty in the 80th minute of a playoff game. And that was one. Of course, the guy makes it. 2-1 final. Goes over. Penalty in the 80th minute. God. Tough.
It is uncanny. I should probably track this. How many times when I make an in-play wager? It's probably not as often as I think.
As soon as it happens, there's a goal. That's how I've been running with the soccer. Oh, it looks like a 1-0 final here. The goal. Penalty.
It doesn't matter.
Stupid error by the keeper.
I've had so many like baseball games. Here comes a pitching change. Okay, good. I'm going to make a play in play now because I like this team. Whatever. No chance. As soon as they bring in the reliever, who I like at the time, right? Okay, to get out of the jam, no chance.
Well, I'll tell you.
Three runs before he can blink.
What we should be doing is you're getting a great return in play if there's a. Look at these late goals. You know what?
My God.
You imagine if it's 1-0 and you could. Offshore, you can do this, and globally, they have some great menus. But you could go over 2.5 for the game. I mean, they're pumping in these late goals, not one, but two.
Right.
I mean, you can just get a juicy return just if there's one goal once you get into, like, the 88th minute.
Mm-hmm.
Some places take it off. Others don't. I mean, William Hill keeps it up pretty late.
Yeah.
But that is...
It's almost like the first and second period bets in the NHL, where just let it breathe
for
5 minutes, and then because you know these teams are going to get going at some point, and then here they come, and there's two goals before you can blink. Again... Get it out of the way. I think that was happening with... by the way, both those big favorites came in yesterday. Inter, they trailed Torino 1-0 at halftime.
Yeah, Nigel had a piece of cake.
They came out and scored three goals in the first, I think, 11 minutes of halftime or second half.
Two of the matches today. Chelsea's 850 and at Atlanta's 650. Oh, Atlanta's on 11-0-1 run.
Yeah, they've been hot.
I mean, and then Chelsea, my God, against Norwich. Did I see this right? Did I have this? Where did I write this? I lost it.
Chelsea matches over 2.5 goals.
Yes. Yeah, 9 in a row? Is that true?
I believe it is. Welcome into the program. Wow. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. But today's total is 3.5.
Well, Norwich gives up goals for fun, though.
Right.
As Nigel would say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, yeah. Well, but yeah, you're right. I say 2.5, but it is a 3.5.
Can Chelsea get 4 on their own? That's a big ask.
I mean, this team is—they're so bad on the road, and they've completely quit. They are relegated; it's official. They just lost. We talked about that Friday with Matt. Like West Ham, $1.10. What? 4-0. Norwich was at home.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, if Chelsea pumps one in early, they're going to be in a bad mood. They were humiliated.
I would think so. They were playing well before that loss.
Yes. Yes. You can't. I think they talked about it with on the post-game show yesterday on NBC. I think Man U came in smelling themselves as well. They were on a great run, and
they set that record, most matches in a row, winning by at least 3 goals in the Prem.
You can't look past your opponent. I mean, Southampton was they got them. They got the injury was big, but they couldn't put them away. Only led 2-1, and then the equalizer late.
All right, let's bring in our pal here, Nigel Seeley, red hot in the world of soccer here on VSiN. I lost count because I was on vacation. Nigel, was it like 12 in a row here on the show?
I don't know. I just wrote for Paulie's tweets to remind me. I've got no idea. I just keep going down to the ATM, and it seems to be getting higher and higher. That's all I know. They're the only figures that I'm worried about. Don't worry about anything else. How are you guys? You all right? How was your holiday? Good?
Good.
Pictures look nice.
Yeah. Hey, does anything that we said in that Chelsea match today make sense to you? Or are you going to, you know, completely stay away from this?
Well, I mean, you're at the end of the season where basically you get very, very short odds about very teams that need. There's this thing in the cut. Everyone says the team need to win and teams don't need to win. And the bookmakers are self-aware of the league table. The bookmakers can see the form. And this is the time where form goes out the window. The only thing I would say for Norwich, to give them a positive, is that they will probably be having a massive reshuffle of players at the end of the season. So they will give kids an opportunity tonight, and kids that were hungry for a starting lineup, and give an opportunity to play against one of the Premier League's biggest sides in Chelsea. So that could go for them because the players will be motivated, or it could go against them if they go 1-0 down very early on and their heads could drop. But I think the players who take the pitch for Norwich will probably be a lot more motivated than the players that have gone through the motions for the last 6 weeks, because there'll be players there. They've got one asset, a guy called Cantwell, who Arsenal want to buy for about £15-20 million, who Norwich want to sell. So he wants to put in a performance. And if they get rid of the ones who haven't really been trying, who haven't really been performing and bringing a load of kids, they, you know, that next season they want to push for a place in the starting 11 for the Championship. So that's the only positive I can give for Norwich. For Chelsea, they're just too inconsistent for me. They got beaten by West Ham. They got beaten by Sheffield United. They were lucky last week because they were humiliated by Sheffield United. And then Manchester United, and then Leicester dropped points in that race for the Champions League spot. So they got quite lucky. This is, you know, really, how could you have a bet on those odds? If you ask 50 people in the street, everyone would say that Chelsea were going to win 2-3 nil. And they probably will win by 2-3 nil. But really, it's what, you know, it's one totally to avoid for me. No interest whatsoever. If Chelsea score after 10 minutes and go 1-0 up, they win 4 or 5 nil.
I agree.
If Norwich can keep them tight for 45, 50 minutes, they could frustrate Chelsea, because Chelsea, their need to win might be their problem. Mm. And it's just a typical end of season non-event for me.
Okay. Well, how about the ramifications of yesterday with the Man City appeal, and then Man U goes out and they get the draw, and how this could be with the top four? And you just saw Leicester, bad loss, Chelsea, bad loss, Man U, bad draw.
Yeah, but that makes it quite exciting. I mean, obviously, the top of the table is done and dusted. The bottom of the table is pretty much looking though the teams at the bottom three places are going to go down. Norwich are down, Bournemouth and Aston Villa. So it gives some excitement for some teams to go into the final weeks of the season. That's what you want. You've got four teams vying for three positions, which is going to be very, very interesting. And, you know, Wolves mathematically can make it, but I can't see them doing it. I wouldn't be surprised. The team that I fear for is Leicester. I mean, they've obviously lost their heads at the end of that game. At the weekend, they've now got suspensions with players getting sent off, and if it wasn't for Vardy scoring the goals, they have nowhere near being the same side that have been what we saw pre-lockdown. So I think it's going to be the top four. I mean, you know, we say about the Premier League in this country being the most wide open and interesting league in the world. Well, the top four in the Premier League: Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea. It's not really much of a surprise. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them four be the top four again next year, but maybe not in that particular order.
Okay.
I'm very intrigued by the Championship League, Nigel, with three matches left. I mean, you know, the bottom of the table with relegation, and then at the top with these guys, it's going to be a fantastic finish. Good card today. Let's start with the big one with West Brom and Fulham. Fourth place against second place here, as West Brom trying to catch Leeds, but Fulham's been playing well.
Fulham have been playing exceptionally well, and I think they've won four on the spin. Mitrovic is back scoring goals. He did last week, got us the money last week. A draw is no good for either side. You know, I had a couple of guys tweet me and saying this one team's pitching third, one team's pitching fourth, and the draw looks a decent price, but it's not, because both teams want automatic promotion. And West Brom want to catch Leeds at the top as well. So I don't think it's going to be any stage of the game where they may settle for a draw. There'll be other games where they may settle for a draw. So I think both teams will really go out for the win in this game, which could potentially bring in the over goals, over 2.5 goals. Both of them have quality strikers to score goals. And both of them, West Brom in particular, always concede a few goals. Fulham have been a bit more solid defensively since lockdown. Fulham have their best player called Tom Cairney, who missed the last game. If he's back, that's a big positive for them. But I think that's, again, a really, really, really tough game to call. And, you know, I'd love to see a draw because it means that Leeds will take a step closer to win the championship. Yeah. And with so much riding on now, I mean, we've spoken about the future bets. We've got over 150 points of profit potentially coming our way. That I don't really want to invest on anything else because I'm in such a good position on the future. So I don't really want to look, you know, I would love this game to be a draw, which would mean that Leeds would probably get promoted, and that would be great. And also I've got Brentford for the top three, which will open that up for them as well. Wow. But the game is, I think the game tonight will be a really, really, really good game of football. Okay. Probably one of the best games of football we'll have since the lockdown. If you're looking for an angle, with so much at stake, and potentially if any of your books do over the bookings, over yellow cards or red cards, that could be the potential angle because there is so much at stake for both sides, and this is like a cup final. They'll both be fired up for this match.
Okay. Leads up to $6 in some spots now to win. What I said earlier in the show, a lot higher than that now. How about Wigan, $1.25 against Hull City? Wigan's won 3 of 4. Hull has 1 win in their last 18.
Listen, Paul, the only thing I've got to say to that is Huddersfield. That's it. Right. Now, I wouldn't even touch that game. Paul, you're looking for the winners. Just let the winners find you. Don't go looking for picture. Wigan and Huddersfield. This is just leave it out. One team has got administration. The other team are absolutely useless. I'll get a game for them. Leave this one completely out. I'll give you a bet, Paul. Right. This is the one for you, right? Luton playing Queen's Park Rangers. Now, you opposed Luton with your Huddersfield bet last week. Now, I never had a chance to talk about it on the show, and I'll never mention it again, I promise, but Huddersfield for the last time.
Yep.
But Luton, we're in disarray, total disarray, aside in real, real bad problems. They had a new manager had come in, the players had lost interest in the manager, and they looked like relegation was an absolute certainty. The season before last, they won League One. I bet them at 14-1 to win League One, actually, and they won League One. And they come into this season, and their manager left, a guy called Nathan Jones, who went to Stoke. Now, Nathan Jones did brilliant at Luton. He was a small club, and he got them all united, and it was a great fit for him as a manager. In the lockdown, they got him back. He got sacked from Stoke. They brought him back, and that is why their form was absolutely transformed. I know two players at Luton, and he's saying it's like a different club. They strongly believe they can stay up. They have huge aspirations of staying up. It was mathematically impossible from 6, 7 or 8 games ago before lockdown, but this guy coming in has regalvanized the team. And I think you'll see since lockdown they've only lost one game, and they're sitting on, and they've given themselves a real, real chance. I told you about Queen's Park Rangers. They have got no interest in playing at the moment whatsoever. They have two assets in their club who could go for £20 million, who are scared of getting injured. The club needs the money. They don't want those players to get injured. And if you watch their performances since the lockdown, the players aren't at 100%. They're mathematically safe. They have nothing to play for whatsoever. And since lockdown, they've lost five or six of the 7 games, but they've only won one match and lost every other game. On Saturday night, I put this out as a play on Premier Sports Play. Luton were plus $1.80. They're now plus $1.40, and I still make them a bet. I made them a $1.25 price. That was my price, what I fancied when I saw the fixture come out. They're $1.40 now. Queen's Park Rangers have absolutely no interest in this game whatsoever. They have the ability, they have the players, but they're going through the motion. Luton are a galvanised team. They're assorted together. They've got their manager back. They're a team going places. And I tell you what, Luton tonight to beat Queen's Park Rangers would be one of my strongest plays since the lockdown came back. You've missed the price now. They were 180, but a 140. If you can get the draw, no bet option, you've got one team that need the points and another side absolutely not interested whatsoever. And I think Luton will win it tonight against Queen's Park Rangers.
Great stuff tonight, Joel. By the way, so on that note of QPR playing some really poor soccer lately, 1-5 overall last 6 matches, they have a 2-1 win, but their losses since the return, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, and 3-0. They can get nothing going at all.
Yeah, but they have got two players that could, in any given form. They've got a guy called Ibra Eze, who's probably the best player outside the Premier League. This kid is fantastic. If you give him a free kick at the edge of the box, they could change that. I mean, let's just not make it complicated. You've got an odds here at $1.40. Mm. Don't worry about the 1-0. I mean, it could happen. But QPR have two or three players of individual brilliance that could score a goal and not have a bet. But then if you look at the team, even if QPR score, the motivation for Luton is always there because they have to win. They have to get 6 points from their last three games. And they knew that in the lockdown. They've worked together with the situation. I know a guy who's a director at Queen's Park Rangers, and he told me before the season that the players didn't, the QPR, one of the clubs that publicly said they didn't want to come back from the lockdown. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it to you, Paulie, but when the start, some teams are going through the motions. And Queen's Park Rangers is certainly one of those sides. And those two players can score, but also they don't want to get an injury. You know, Tottenham are looking at one of the players. Another couple of Premier League clubs are looking at the other players. These boys are 19, they're 21 years of age. It could change their career, could go to Tottenham. Why would they put 100% in a game that means absolutely nothing in front of no supporters for the sake of getting injured and missing a £30 million move? It's not going to happen.
Excellent job. Can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. It's a huge card, and I want your thoughts, too, on Liverpool.
I'll just give you one quick thing before I go. Atalanta, you mentioned Atalanta. They're very heavy odds on favourites tonight. They must be absolutely demoralised after the 2-2 draw against Juventus. Juventus scored in the last minute, Ronaldo penalty kick. Atalanta were absolutely superb, but they're demoralised. If they won that game, they could be pushing for the title in Serie A. They haven't won the game, and it looks as though they can't win the title and probably settle for Champions League football. They're going to make a lot of changes tonight. I think they're going to make at least five or six changes to this evening. I'm not saying they won't win because they're the best side, but if you're taking short handicaps, -2, -2.5, just be a little bit careful in that game because Brescia are not playing that. Defensively, they're atrocious, but they do get the odd goal. Balotelli will be he's put on a bit of weight. I don't know if he'll be playing for them tonight, but Atalanta will make changes to personnel this evening, and it won't be the same Atalanta that played against Juventus last week, that's for sure.
All right.
Great to know.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and I know you applied for a dancer dealer position at Circa.
Yeah, I've been practicing in the hot tub. I don't know if you want me to see. I've got the mankini and the Bermudas that you can get me in occasion. No problem whatsoever.
All right. Hope we see you in October.
At their pool.
Yes.
Okay. Take care, guys.
All right. You're the best. That's great. Over Circa Poolie. I see they're hiring the dancer. Over 3.5 total cards in the Fulham West Brom. What he recommended. So what a breakdown on those two matches. I mean, Brescia is terrible, but as if
that's really good knowledge, though, because they were. In fact, when we flashed that graphic moments ago, I think it said that Atalanta was around the $625 favorite range, whatever.
Well, if they're laying 2.5 goals, though.
Oh, sure, $625. Yeah, I saw them some spots higher than $7 last night.
Okay,
so the draw is +7, but he says careful here.
Chelsea's last 9 Premier League games. Premier League games have gone over 2.5.
Okay.
But this one's 3.5 against Norwich. But the last 4 have gone over 1.5 in the first half.
That's right.
So I totally agree with Nigel. If they get one early, watch out. Watch out. All hell's going to break loose.
Okay. So he put me out of the
breakdown. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
They need it. Bottom
QPR,
of the table, right?
Awful.
Great breakdown on QPR. Nothing to play for. Don't care. Can't score. And Luton just had the big road win against Huddersfield. Who needed that? That was 2-0. They had the draw, too, against Leeds.
That's right.
One was 5-6-1 that draw play. The top team Leeds, that Luton got the draw.
So the two of you butted heads in a match last week?
Well, I said, what do you think about Huddersfield? I gave out Huddersfield $1. He laughed at me. He goes, come on. There's 50 games on the board. That's probably the 45th. Luton won 2-0. I said it'd be 2-0. The under 2, but 2-0 Luton. Yeah, he laughed at me. Bottom of the table. Barnsley, 43 points. Luton, 44. Hull, 45. Charlton, 46. Huddersfield and Middlesbrough, 47. What a battle. We're assuming Wigan's going to be relegated, too, because of the administration of that fiasco. I don't know how that's going to play out, but great battle here with 3 matches left.
We actually have a pretty decent match going between Millwall and Blackburn today. Millwall, 62 points. Yeah. Blackburn, 60. Two solid squads. Some notes on this game quickly. Millwall hasn't scored more than one goal in their past 5 matches. And since February 1st, that's overall 14 matches, 12 have gone under 2.5 goals. 12 of 14 matches under 2.5 goals.
Who?
For Millwall.
Wow.
Blackburn has conceded first in 7 consecutive games. Total today is 2.5.
Remember that ticket we put up a couple weeks ago, too, from Nigel's friend? Boy, is that guy cooking. He already had 2 in. He needs Leeds to win the championship.
On the futures, yeah.
He needs Man City to win the FA Cup there in the semifinals. I think that's this week. Is it Sunday? Yeah. They're the favorite there in the semifinals. Mm. That paid like $100,000. The cash out was 30.
That's right, the cash out.
But Leeds has got a comfortable lead.
Yep. Up next, ultimately, no one is playing football in the fall. That's from one high-ranking college official. He told Yahoo Sports that. Stories coming up next. Welcome back to the program. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. We're live in Las Vegas, South Point Sportsbook. This is a pretty powerful story from Pete Thamel. Yeah, covers college football for Yahoo Sports.
Get ready. This has got some tough quotes.
Okay. So, by the way, maybe you can still bet this stuff in certain jurisdictions. Will there be a college football season? When are we going to get it? But first of all, before we get to the quotes, this is what Thamel wrote. This is him. Take a deep breath and begin to get comfortable with the idea there's virtually no chance of playing college football in any recognizable form this fall. Mm-hmm. Start digesting the notion that the next time we see a college football game could be in more than 13 months, as the sport remains the most unlikely of all the major sports to execute a successful return. Consider any semblance of college football prior to week zero of 2021 as a bonus, an improbable gift from the football gods.
What? Oh, no.
That's his take on it. But again, Pete Thamel talked to plenty of people, higher ups, Power Five programs, universities. For example, here's one quote from a Power Five AD. Right now, I don't see a path in the current environment to how we play. I'm confident we'll get back to what we all think of as normal, but it may be a year before that happens.
Normal. What's normal? Huh. That might be 2 years. That might be a year and a half.
What's the new normal?
I mean, what's
Here's one more. Ultimately, no one is playing football in the fall. That is from a high-ranking college official. It's just a matter of how it unfolds. As soon as one of the Power Five conferences makes a decision, that's how it's going to end. And he calls college football right now a 4-touchdown underdog to actually happen. A 4-touchdown underdog?
I agree with that. Well, maybe the SEC could go rogue.
I could see that.
SEC and Big 12 decide we'll do it. We're just going to play our own. We'll do it. We'll play league games, and then we'll go SEC against Big 12 maybe. I don't know. Or the SEC says we're still playing, but that's, yeah. You got a problem with it? I agree. I give it a 5% chance.
5% now, huh? I'm looking for some hope here. Well, how are you going to sport?
You're not going to find it right now. I don't. The weekend that happened.
Here's a Power Five coach who told Yahoo Sports on Sunday, "quote I hope I'm wrong, but I think the season being canceled is a foregone conclusion." Another Power Five coach. I cringe when I hear administrators saying that the health and safety of the student athletes is first and foremost. No, it's not. If it was, you would have punted on the season already. And a TV executive said, "What I have learned is that it's all or nothing. It'll be push back, and maybe play 4 or 6 games in the late fall, then maybe decide to come back for another 6 in the spring. Who's going to do that?
Don't do that. What's
a... There's a whole bunch of possibilities on the spectrum of getting a season in. People think it's a binary on or off situation. More than ever, because of money involved, they're going to do whatever they possibly can to get in 10 football games between now and next September. That's what it's come to. You're going to tell me they're going to start sometime in the fall, cancel, pick up, and then play more games next spring? How many college players, for example, who would be high draft picks next May or whenever the NFL draft might be, are going to say, yeah, sign me up for that one, coach. Mm. You think Trevor Lawrence is going to come back? Hey, we're going to interrupt right now the season, late November. We'll see you in February, Trevor. No, you won't.
Did you see what the Navy AD said? Said, oh, if there's one game to be played, it's Navy-Army, and we're going to play Army-Navy.
I did see that.
That was, yeah, one thing. So we're playing that game. We're playing Army-Navy. There's one game that's going to get played. It has to happen. It's Army-Navy.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't. Boy, that is something.
Don't know what a team like Notre Dame does.
Like that.
How about BYU? I see Hawaii actually. Somehow Hawaii went and scheduled a game yesterday with like a lower rung, whatever squad. I forget which team it was. Robert Morris, I think I want to say. Like September 26th. That's kind of wishful thinking, I would think, on their part, right? I know the season sucks. 4 games are already off the schedule, but let's go schedule Robert Morris right now in September and play the game.
Yep, Robert Morris yesterday.
Yep.
Timber Road game in Hawaii.
I didn't know they had a team.
I didn't know that either.
Me either.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Positivity up next, though. Positivity.
Oh, this is good. Yeah, this is a brilliant move by a realtor who lives in Virginia to trademark all the potential nicknames for a Washington football team. We'll go over the betting odds with this coming up next. Besides Point Spread Weekly, one of the benefits of a VSiN Plus subscription is a midday email with best bets from guests and hosts mentioned during the shows. We also have increased the amount of stats and analysis we post to VSiN.com. Sign up for a risk-free subscription right now. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. It is free until August. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. So we went over some of the betting odds, Paulie, for the new nickname for the Washington football team. No longer going to be the Redskins. By the way, that was back in 2013. Dan Snyder said, you can put it all in caps. I'm never changing the team name, ever. So how does a shrewd businessman like himself not get ahead of the ball game here by going out and trademarking some possible nicknames? This realtor in Alexandria, Virginia, beat him to the punch on a ton of different potential names, including he's got the Red Tails, which was the favorite offshore at 3-1. He has the Monuments, which we like.
Yep.
That was 8-1. He locked in the Veterans back in 2015 at 9-1. You can still find some of the bets that are on the board that are available, evidently, that are not trademarked. But you never thought about this before because you were so fired up that you're never going to change the name. But just in case, you're not going to go trademark them?
I don't know. That was, I like Red Wolves. I saw the pictures out there, the Red Wolves possibly. That looks interesting. With the Red Wolves.
Mm.
Not bad. I don't know. Yeah, I like the Monuments, too. That's
what would you, if you were the guy who trademarked the names, what would you want in return at this point?
Boy, I have no idea. I'm out of my element with that. What's the going rate for the, I don't know.
What number do you actually give Dan so he doesn't completely get turned off if he wants one of these names and says, screw you, I'm going to find something else? You throw out like $500,000?
I mean, this guy charges to watch practice.
Yeah.
During the camp.
Parking, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean.
Is that completely nuts to say, look, I own these names. You want them. Give me $500,000 because you're going to make an infinite amount of money moving forward with a new nickname, with merchandise, sales. You're going to have the trademark now. Boom.
What a job. What a job here, beating them to the punch. Yeah? Well, when you go back to the quote, which was 7 years ago, about never.
All right.
You know how these guys are.
Now you kind of got them. I don't, maybe $500,000 is way, maybe that's way too much. Do you say like $100,000? Do you ask for season tickets? Do you ask for lifetime season tickets?
Go back to the Pete Rose, yeah. All right, I'll give you season tickets for 5 years, call it good. I mean, that,
right around there.
Do
yeah.
that. Okay, interesting.
You got to make sure you're not going to get screwed out of the tickets, though.
What a job. Locking all those up.
Hogs was actually on the list yesterday at 50-1 to be the new name.
You know what's...
He got Washington Warhogs.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The Braves aren't going to change their name, but they said, quote, we're going to take a look at the chop. I know this because it was a big deal because I'm from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That was a story in 1991 when the Braves played the Twins in the World Series.
100%.
Where there were protests. That was a story in 1991. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a look at the chop.
Yeah, yeah. Been a while. But let's revisit that one, huh?
That was controversial then.
That World Series was an epic World Series.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Come on.
Yeah.
Everybody watched that thing. Yeah. It was great.
I've interviewed him a couple times face to face. I'd love to get him on the show. I don't know. John Smoltz, who's had like 12 hole-in-ones in his life.
Yeah.
John Smoltz was one of the best postseason pitchers of all time. He went against Jack Morris, didn't he, in Game 7?
He had Jack Morris on as well.
Kirby Puckett goes deep in Game 6.
Yep.
Home team won every game. Braves killed them, the three in Atlanta.
Oh, the crowd's going absolutely bananas.
Oh, what a World Series.
That showdown between Smoltz and Morris is, come on, that's one of the best pitch games of all time between both those guys. But it's, you know, a long time ago. Yeah, we better go back and... Guys, it was a... People were coming at you left and right.
We're going to take a look at it.
Right, that's a full generation ago. More than that, actually.
The Deion Chop, man. Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Was that the Tim McCarver thing, too? Where he dumped a bucket of water on Tim McCarver?
Yeah.
Got that? Was that the Barry Bonds game? Sid Bream? Was that the same year or different year?
That was 92? I think that was 91.
Barry Bonds.
I think that was 1991.
Hot dog arm.
Could not throw
Couldn't throw out.
Out
Sid Bream. Sid Bream.
Waddling home.
He's still running. Bonds gets it there on eight hops.
Yep.
Barry Bonds. Yeah.
You know, this, for some reason, like, it's been the anniversary of many Bo Jackson things the last couple of weeks. Have you seen this on Twitter? Can you just imagine, I mean, for the young folks, do you know how big Bo Jackson would be today if he played either sport? Football with those runs that he had against the Seahawks and just a complete bulldozer against Brian Bosworth in the old Seattle arena in the stadium. How about that catch that he made at the All-Star game? Or no, he hit the home run at the All-Star game, but he runs up the wall.
Baltimore. Yep.
Playing center field.
Yeah.
I just think that Bo Jackson would be, he would be LeBron James today if he was healthy.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Unstoppable in Tecmo Bowl. Tell you that, too.
One run. That was it. That was the play.
Yeah.
You had no
chance. It was just an innocuous thing, right? Wasn't it a game against the Bengals? It's like, oh, he left the game hip. And then, okay, that's his career.
Mm-hmm.
That was the end of his football career.
Sucks.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Generals are the 4-1 favorite. I'm sure there are people, like, in that area that have some good intel on this and might know exactly which way he's going to lean.
Okay.
No, I think the Generals, but we already have a Washington Generals. Come on.
Did you see in the statement he said sponsors at the start twice? You know, it'll be basically saying I did this because of the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple people have sent this in, FTM@VSiN.com and on tweets. DraftKings with an odds boost, something I'd love to see in Nevada, but, you know, DraftKings, get here soon, please. Tiger to make the cut. -345 to +125 odds boost. How about that?
Wow.
They do a lot of stuff like that. I mean, not the only, but that is, how great is some of the stuff with the odds boost and what?
Yeah, I love it.
Isn't that great?
Well, just all the options that you have on the soccer matches and also the golf.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The first round leader stuff, it's nowhere to be found in Las Vegas. Nobody has that. The menu that you can go on some of these apps,
bonuses,
spend an hour on for one sport.
Bonuses, free play, odds boost. Well, that is something. That's phenomenal.
If Tiger plays...
Look at that. Welcome back, Tiger, here. plus money to make the cut.
Yeah.
$50 maximum bet, they said. But you know,
a lot of the stuff they have.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I understand. But still, that's great.
So we're going to talk to Jeff Sherman, leading golf odds maker over at the Westgate Super Bowl coming up next. I want to ask him, actually, if Tiger has a good showing this week, hell, if he wins, right? What would he lower his Masters odds to at that point? And also, what's the most that they would take on a golf outright?
Good question.
Like, if somebody comes to the table, right, to the counter this week, says, I want $5,000 on Tiger to win, would they take that? Jeff Sherman joins the program coming up next. Don't miss out on the action this upcoming football season. You can now enter the Westgate Super Contest, Circa Sports Million, and the brand new Circa Survivor with the help of footballcontest.com. This proxy service has been helping people play for more than a decade now, and all you have to do is sign up in person. Then they will submit your picks throughout the season. VSiN listeners have an exclusive offer for a chance to win a free pair of Las Vegas Raiders tickets at the brand new Allegiant Stadium. Sign up today at footballcontest.com/VSiN. That's footballcontest.com/VSiN. Jeff Sherman joins the program now, VP Risk Management, also the leading golf odds maker over at the Westgate Superbook. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Great. How's it going, guys?
Pretty well. You know, we were just talking about this last segment before you popped on with us. What's the, you know, for let's use Tiger as the example here for this week, coming back at the Memorial. What's the biggest bet you would take on an outright winner in a golf tournament, and let's say from a known better compared to a guy off the street?
Well, it just depends what the odds are. I mean, we take as a guideline on a weekly basis now to win 50,000. Obviously, if the odds are longer, then there's an extension. We just had someone bet David Lingmerth for $100 at 1,000 to 1, so that pays 100,000. So we'll take 100 on anyone. But you know, if somebody, we had someone bet last week Rahm to win 3,000. That paid 44,000. So we use as a guideline 50,000. And if it's a player that has a history with us for a while, then we can extend it.
Okay. And what happens if Tiger has a good showing this week? Maybe he wins. Maybe he finishes top five, top 10, but he's in the mix. He makes it interesting. What would you do with his future odds then for the PGA, the US Open, and also the Masters?
Well, you know, he's the one guy that if he starts out of the gate right away and just does a few holes, everything's so reactionary to him. So, you know, I've got him at 16 to 1 for the Masters, as high as 25 for the U.S. Open. But if he comes out Thursday and starts doing well and he's on the first page of the leaderboard, then you start seeing the bets roll in on the app, and you'll see the Masters will probably start drifting down to 12 and the other ones will become short of 20. But, you know, he's obviously the guy that we keep our eye on because he's the one that you see the bets come across on the ticker the quickest.
Do you like anybody this week? This is a unique spot, is it not? I mean, how many times do we have a golf tournament played back-to-back on the same course?
Yeah, it's obviously extremely unique and so interesting because it's got the field of a major. I mean, you have every top guy playing. It's so hard to handicap the guys at the top. You know, just sifting through, I didn't play anyone at the top. The one that I'd lean to would be Cantlay, is as far as liking the course and his form in relation to the other guys up there. But I'm just looking a little bit deeper down the list, and I like in the 60 to 80 to 1 range, Joaquin Neiman with his iron play. I think he can be sneaky, kind of like what we saw at Morikawa and Hovland last week, hanging around, put himself in position. And I really like Billy Horschel this week. You know, he did all right last week. He's played well on this course. This course fits his game. 80-1, I think, is a good price. So I'm offering him at 60, but I'm definitely looking for him in matchups. I know the market matchup out there is Horschel against M, and M is not playing very well, so I'm going to be on Horschel on that one.
How was the handle this past weekend? Any takers on Morikawa in play at 16-1, down three shots with three to play? And how was the action, considering it was tape delay with what happened and moving up with the weather?
Well, the pre-tournament handle set another record for us outside of majors, just for a weekly event. So that was fantastic. And we had a few tickets on Morikawa, 35-1. We're a small loser on him. The moving up to tee times with the streaming coverage, I definitely hurt our in play. It was about half what we've done the past few weeks. We didn't have any takers at 16-1 on Morikawa when he was down to three shots. But the highest we had some money, it was plus 850 on him. But wild fluctuations there, and a very interesting end to it. It's just too bad it couldn't be seen nationally.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. How about the UFC? How did that go with all five favorites getting there on the pay-per-view?
Yeah, it wasn't good for us just because of the parlays. We take a lot of large parlays, and we were a small loser to it. It wasn't anything overwhelming, but we definitely needed one of the dogs. Had Holloway ended up winning like a lot of people thought that he should have. It would have been a good result for us and changed the whole complexion of the day. So, small loser, but the handle on it was fantastic. I mean, very well received. And, it's just UFC keeps growing and growing, and as long as it keeps doing that, we're able to take larger wagers. We had plenty of large wagers come across on it, and it's been a great event.
Yeah, John Murray told me that it's pretty much the highest that he can ever remember. Could have been the best of all time for you guys.
Yeah, it was phenomenal, and it's great since we have the counter open versus just the app, how we did it for a month, and it gives us the ability to take those, $20,000 wagers on up. So it's just been fantastic. It keeps growing, and we have a card tomorrow night. Obviously, it won't be anything like what we saw Saturday. But, just the frequency of these events, it's got people in a consistent rhythm of following it and betting it.
Good point. Yes. What was the biggest ticket on Custer to win the NASCAR event?
Well, we had three tickets on them. We had two of them at 300-1, one for $5, one for $10. And we also had a $10 one at 200-1. So three of them, and he was an awesome result for us. It's terrific for those people that had them. It's a great, especially this time right now, to hit something like that. And the interesting thing on Sunday too, Custer wins at 300-1. Mark Warren also won on the European Tour at 100-1. So it was long shot Sunday that came in, and we had someone had $40 on Mark Warren at 100-1 that paid 4,000. So that was nice for them. And just interesting day on Sunday. But we haven't seen anything like Custer since we saw Chris Buescher win it at Pocono a few years ago in a rain shortened event when he was 500-1.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jeff Sherman, our guest, VP, Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook. I know we've talked to you about this in the last couple of weeks, but I want just an update. What are the conversations like behind the glass with you and John Murray and Ed Sammons and Jay Cornegay and whomever else about, college football, if you think we're going to get it, is it doomsday back there behind the glass? Do you think we're going to get Major League Baseball? Are you love the NBA. Are you confident that everything's going to go well in the bubble with the NBA?
I think the NBA and hockey will do well. Hockey especially, we see them up in Canada, and I know you guys mentioned earlier about the cases all right up there. And I think those two are taking the approach to proceed all right. Now, baseball starting next week, I'm really pessimistic about that just because of all the travel these teams are going to have, being out in the open, and they can try to shield them as much as they want. But think of all the people they're going to come in contact with. That's going to be tough. College athletics, you have all these schools that are going to online learning that really aren't ready to commit to campus environments. I think that's going to be extremely tough, and I can see that being pushed back to the spring. I'm a lot more optimistic about the NFL because they can control just the amount of players they have, and it's just not so much more open like a campus and everything like that. So the college athletics, even college basketball, I'm pessimistic about. But the professional athletics, we've seen it with the soccer over in Europe, finishing their seasons, the plan to go ahead with the new season in a few months. So I think the pros can get it done, and they can control what they need to do. I think colleges are going to be a lot more difficult.
All right, terrific breakdown. I agree with all that. How about as an NBA expert, though? I mean, this is something Brian Windhorst was talking about even. How about the information? Are we going to know who's going to play? How many guys are going to be, are you going to be sent away? Did you go over the line, the snitch hotline? Oladipo might play now, too. Rondo's out. I mean, Westbrook's got the COVID. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, we just take what we can get across Twitter. And obviously, I think the first eight games are going to be almost like wild preseason games. I think there's some teams are going to be non-committal to playing their guys less minutes, give them some time off. You know, there's a chance that the Lakers and Bucks can clinch their one seeds yep. rather early and play different lineups throughout. Plus, you have initially getting through the bubble, you might have some people that miss games due to illness factor, the COVID or something like that, that we have to be aware of. But I think everyone's pretty much going to get the information at the same time on that. We just pay attention just as if it was an injury to the season, you know, just like the Rondo news that we got the other night, stuff like that. And then when they get deeper into the playoffs, I think that they'll pretty much be set into what they're doing and have the routine and have some early things worked out that I think it'll be a lot more accustomed to what we've been used to about watching it and following what we do and booking it and betting it that way once they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, great info. Follow Jeff on Twitter. He is at Golf Odds. Thank you, Jeff. Have a good week.
All right, thanks. You guys too.
Yep,
shipment Saturday. There'll be a shipment Saturday too, Jeff, with the Guinness. I give you a heads up with that.
Do you think most bettors who have really gotten into soccer, UFC, and golf will continue to bet like they have been over the past month once we get let's say we get them all back? No college football, though. Because I'm going to. Definitely. With the golf, no exception.
Yes, because baseball isn't cool. It's a regional sport, and they ticked a lot of people off. I still don't know what's going to happen with hockey in terms of
I will be
playoff hockey. Yeah, I still think he's right about the UFC. It's because of the schedule. So it's there every Saturday.
Sure.
Every Saturday. Mm-hmm. There it is. Another card. Great.
I will say this, though.
We're 3 o'clock till 11. Here comes 7 hours of coverage, 12 fights.
Okay, so I think I might actually dial back the UFC because it depends on what else we're going to have on Saturday nights, right? Like, let's say if we do get college football, well, then my attention is going to be in college
Interesting
football.
Interesting question. Yeah. Are you watching Carolina Rangers play-in game? I don't know. Mm. Are you?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about everybody else.
No, I know. But
golf, yes, absolutely golf. Golf will continue. I think UFC will continue. I don't know how excited people are going to get. I think the schedule helps with hockey, but
I honestly don't know. Like, if the NFL comes up with a Saturday, Sunday, Monday type schedule, and they're playing on Saturday nights, going to be a UFC card.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. It will be Saturday night for NFL. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will have some pre-flop bets, but I really like tracking and betting the in-game stuff with the UFC.
Well, he's not the only one concerned about baseball. I mean, we are,
eight days,
9 days away from opening day, opening night? I mean, they can pull this off? I don't know.
Mr. Las Vegas advisor himself, Anthony Curtis, is going to join us in studio coming up next. He has some really good observations from this city, reopening, where we're at now, about a month, 5 weeks into this. He's going to join the program coming up next.